Blog Talk Radio. Last night in APB?
I did not because, yeah, I ended up sleeping most of the evening. So, yeah, I needed a good nap.
Oh, I love y'all's conversation. It's, you know what? Am I the only one that has this in my head where you have, you remember the locales of games like they're real locales?
Sort of. I mean, what do you mean?
Like, I know when, this is especially heavy when I played a lot of COH. And they have, you know, names of streets and areas. And I'd be like, oh, they over in Saints Row, you know, where they have that building, you know, the one that looks like a blah, 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 blah. And where
oh,
that guy's
God,
always
yes,
getting out.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I'd be giving people directions. Okay, first you're going to turn left at that other building by the trash dumpster. And then there's going to be that guy standing there. He's always there. That homeless one with the cup. Yeah, him. And then when you pass by him, and it sounds like I'm talking about a real location. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've done that.
Good morning, lovely peoples of the world.
Good morning. Good morning. Good
now, just
morning.
So you all know, tomorrow we will not be on. Please don't get upset. You can listen to old GGR. You know what? I say you go all the way back to the beginning and listen to some of those.
Yes, yes. Just do that. Do that. Do that. Yeah.
You can hear that we are still unorganized, haphazard, and crazy.
Not nearly as bad as we were when we began all this, but there are some days when I'm just like, whoa. All right, I'm sending you pictures.
Oh, my fantastical.
All right, so I guess these people are here for some news, and I do have some news for them. So can I go ahead and give them news, or? All right, I'm going to go ahead and give them news.
Yeah, what happened? Oh, yeah, news.
All right, GameStop gets some more bad breath, bad press. GameStop makes top 10 list of worst companies to work for. They say, I'm not sure if GameStop is one of the top 10 worst companies to work for in the United States, but an analyst firm, Glassdoor, does. Glassdoor lets employees rate the companies they work for, and apparently GameStop employees voted for the company enough to push it in at number 10 on their list. Employees contributed to the study say that GameStop puts too much of an puts too much of an emphasis on high sales and doesn't provide enough attention to customer service, a flipping men. Employees also criticize the company for putting too much pressure on them to push pre-orders on customers. Anyone who has ever walked into a GameStop or called them with a question already knows this fact. Priority is placed on sales instead of games and customers. Pushing people to pre-order games can place them in a situation where they spend good money on a bad game with no possibility of a refund. Business models place customers at a disadvantage, said one review quoted by 24/7 Wall Street. Yeah, but they said it's probably still more fun than working at McDonald's or food court. True story, but seriously,
That GameStop has changed a lot. Like, years ago, they were really good to them. People really, really want to work there. I contemplated going to work there because, did you know, they used to have their own event like E3, but it was just private for them.
Really? GameStop?
Yes, and they would come back with all sorts of swag and stuff. Like, the guys would be, because I would be like, why would you want to work here? Because when they would tell me, I was like, okay, I see why. They get games, and they could also take games home. You know, so they didn't have to buy them. They could, they would have a store copy, and they would rent and take them home and get to play. So I said, that is right nice. I would love to have.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so I saw why they worked there, but I think they started cutting out a lot of things. I got some interesting news from the Video Gamers Network they sent over to this morning. The ESA has released its 2012 demographic findings on who plays video games.
Mm-hmm.
And before I announce this, let me just give you a hint of who's playing most of the video games. Wait a minute, where's my, you know, see, I should never scroll. Anyway, let me go ahead and tell y'all about who plays most of the games here real quick. I had to throw that in there because I'm all hyped this morning. That's right, people. 47% of us now are female. How about people over the age of people over the age of 36.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the ESA released that this morning. They said there's a ton more fun facts that they have up on their blog, Video Gamers. VideoGameVoters.org/ESA report. The report, it's an annual report that comes out. It basically has essential facts about the computer and video game industry. And if, for example, did you know the average gamer is over 30 years old and has been playing games for 12 years? Right?
Yeah, baby.
Not what you expect. So fantastic, interesting insight. Go over and check the blog out. Here we go. There's another interesting fact. 98% of parents feel the ESRB rating system is either very or somewhat helpful in choosing games for their children. Also, 66% of parents believe – that's the Game of Nature bat line. 66% of parents believe gameplay provides mental stimulation or education. And the top reasons parents play video games with their kids is because it's fun for the entire family. Lovely, lovely information. You got to go and check this out and download a copy of the report if they will let you. If not, we will probably try to grab it and put it up. I like when they do this.
Me too. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, we need some interesting fun facts.
We do. All right. So what have we got? We got all sorts of weird stuff that's going on today. I don't know about this. Anyways, BioWare director defends Day One DLC. BioWare Edmonton director of online development Fernando Mello tells Polygon that Day One DLC makes sense. Says who? He thinks that it is all a matter of simple math for game developers because development budgets for post-launch downloadable content incorporate attached rates against the total sales of the game, and attached rates decrease a few weeks after a game's launch. By putting this content in front of the players on launch day, Mello believes that it ensures better post-launch content while at the same time maximizing the use of budgets. He also claims that it solves the problem of when a player wants to use that content because it's there from the start to be used at their leisure. We realize that the only way we're going to cater to that and meet both demands is to have it available day one. Because in that case, you're making it available on their time. They get to choose when to pick that up. It's not based on us. It's not based on some first-party release schedule. It's there. If they want to pick it up, they can. If they want to wait to finish the game, they can do that too. Mello admitted that developers are still trying to figure out the best way to deal with fan backlash over Day 1 DLC, and that the best way is to properly communicate how this content fits into their development schedule. In a few years, he thinks none of this will matter, though. The only way that's going away is fast forward a few years where this is just normal. Every game is a digital Day 1. Every game is an ongoing service, almost like an MMO, where at any given day, new content shows up. Of course, consumers would argue that Day 1 DLC that is packed on the disc isn't free most of the time, and since it is already on a physical product they pay for, they already own it. Yes, I agree with the bottom. What were you thinking? Oh, no, this is fair. This is right. Sure. It's like, you know, it's like Christmas. You put the gifts opened in front of us. We can see it. It's there. We can almost touch it, but we just can't have it unless we pay for it. And that's not cool. You've already developed this software, this game. It's there. Give it to
what,
us.
At $60
we
a pop.
The disc.
Yeah, $60 a pop. They really should give it to us.
Yes, and if I bought that disc, I now own whatever's on that disc.
Thank you. That is a very interesting point. Very interesting point, Ginger. You should. That's how it should be. I bought the disc. I own everything on it. I should not be charged if I decide to unlock it early or get into any trouble because I paid for it already.
Exactly. You don't want us to have it early? Don't put it on there. You know we'll find a workaround. You know we will.
Tell me I can't have it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Other interesting news. This is going to be the deadliest winter ever, according to EA. That'll be when Dead Space 3 releases February 5th of next year. serving violent sub-zero conditions while fighting gigantic creatures, human enemies, and bloodthirsty necromorphs won't be as easy as it sounds. Gamers can go it alone, or fortunately for fans everywhere, they'll have the chance to face these terrors with a friend when Visceral Games, an EA company, EA Studio, launches Dead Space 3 in North America on February 5th. From the lonely depths of space to the graveyard of derelict spaceships to a frozen planet with brutal conditions, Dead Space 3 takes action and terror to incredible new heights. In Dead Space 3, the fate of mankind rests in the hands of engineer Isaac Clarke and his new merciless co-partner, John Carver. Survival is more difficult than ever, but Visceral Games announced today that fans who pre-order the Dead Space 3 Limited Edition at participating retailers will have the advantage of using two bonus suit and weapons right when you start the game. Yeah, so we start that again. The Dead Space 3 Limited Edition provides gamers with first access to two game bundles, First Contact and Witness the Truth, hallelujah, each of which contains an advanced suit and devastating new weapon. These handcrafted weapon combinations act as an initial blueprint for millions of permutations players will be able to create using the all-new weapons crafting system in-game. Hot. Apparently, Dead Space is winner of more than 15 critic awards at E3 this year, including Best of Show Game from Game Informer magazine. Some of our friends, former friends. Are we still friends with you guys? We didn't get the gift basket. Anyway, third largest consumer magazine in the U.S. is who they are. Dead Space 3 also cuts to the heart of deep space terror. The game is recognized by game critics worldwide for its incredible craftsmanship in horror, action, suspense, and sound design. Players will embark on a thrilling ride through space that takes them to a hostile new planet, Tau Volantis. Fortunately, you're not alone this time around. They have fully integrated drop-in, drop-out co-op feature, which gives you the option to play alone or team up with a friend anytime. Players that choose to take down the terror together will experience additional story details, side missions, and gameplay mechanics only found when playing as John Carver. Dead Space is being developed for the PlayStation 3 system, the Xbox 360, and PC. It's not yet been rated by ESRB or PEGI, but you can follow them on Twitter, /Dead Space, or become a fan on Facebook, /Dead Space, or visit deadspace.com.
Deadspace.com?
Sure? Or you can visit our Facebook page and see that I just liked them.
Yay! That sounds awesome. Do that. Do that. Do all those things.
I'm not a Dead Space fan, though, I have to say. This is one I've never actually played, so I can't say I'm not a fan. I just haven't played it yet, and it may just blow me away when I play. But I gotta say, I'm getting tired of the space thing. I'm really like Ginger. APB and Secret World is such a refreshing change because it's our time.
Because everybody's doing it. Everybody is doing it. And at some point, it's just like, you know what? I've played this. I've played this about 50 million different ways. Give me something new.
Yeah,
the new that is spelled N-E-W. Thank you. New,
isn't it K N-E-W? The K is silent.
No, 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 not so much. Not really. All right, so we got more stuff going on. MPAA and RIAA want the U.S. government to mega upload the Pirate Bay. GamePolitics.com this morning: when the Obama administration's copyright Cesar. Is that how you say that? Anyways, Victoria Espinel sent out a request for comments on future strategies related to copyright enforcement. It came as no shock when trade groups representing the rich of the movie and music industry, rich, by the way, asked that a major P2P site be taken down. While the call resulted in plenty of submissions from individuals, digital rights groups and copyright holders, the rich, the RIAA, and MPAA, Solutions submitted on Friday said that more needed to be done about online piracy and that the U.S. government should take a more active hands-on approach to the problem, like they did with Mega Upload. Yes, let's storm the castle, people! Let's rush in with tanks and troops and guns and dogs and take these places down because they're ruining everything. They're terrorists of the internet. Anyways, more specifically, the trade groups want more Mega Upload-like actions against websites, including the Pirate Bay. The groups note in their submission that operators of these rogue sites encourage their user base to post infringing material or offer incentives to users who upload content to frequently download it, which is frequently downloaded by others. They claim that these sites are not interested in file storage, but on illegitimately distributing professionally produced entertainment products. Then they go on to offer some examples. The efforts by the U.S. government to shut down Mega Upload have had an immediate and positive impact on the marketplace. However, significant distribution of illegal content continues through similar websites such as RapidGator, TurboBit, Deposit Files, and PutLocker. Hey, thank you for more information of where to find things. Anyways, finally, they name drop the most familiar site in the world. While its operators have been criminally adjudicated, I can say this, I swear I can, adjudicated, the Pirate Bay TPB continues to be one of the top sites in the world providing access to unlicensed content. All right, so they go on and they quite gripe and moan and whine and cry about Pirate Bay. They go on to say that the name linking website search engines and server farms and Usenet do a lot to facilitate copyright infringement. Another part of the solution would be the government convincing advertising companies and search engines to work with copyright holders to decrease online piracy. You know what else would help? If you would not sell your software for outrageous prices. We understand you worked hard for it. We understand you want a paycheck. But Photoshop, there's Adobe, you in general. Most of your software is like, what, $600, $700 or more a piece for regular users. I could understand if I were like a small company and I were getting three of them with that price. But that's for regular, everyday people, $600 or $700. That's nuts. So guess what? Your software is most likely going to be illegally downloaded. And that's just the way it is. And you're going to take down these sites and 10 more are going to pop up. It's just the way it works. It's the internet. You don't want your software out there? You know what? Go back to putting it on a disc and selling it in a store or something. You know, ridiculous. And Miss Corey, are you here?
I'm here just talking away, muted. How about that?
Apparently, yeah.
Because I had many comments.
Oh, okay.
But I've forgotten them all because I just looked down and went, damn it, I'm muted. All right. Moving along here. Those of you who are very, very excited, especially our friend Joe, because SimCity is coming to Mac. Yes, the king of... Let's rephrase that. The queen of city builders is making its triumphant return to the Mac. SimCity, EA announced today that SimCity will be coming to Mac. Return of the Mac, that's right. Will be coming to Mac as a digital download via Origin in February of next year, with development being led by the creative team at Maxis. That's right. The Mac version of SimCity will feature the same deep and rich gameplay that'll define the PC experience as players on both platforms compete or collaborate to create a new world, yes, together. Cross-platform play, hot! So whether you owned a Macintosh or a DOS PC, we have all the memories of laying down zones and reticulating splines, or spleens, I said splines, from our youth, said Lucy Bradshaw, who is now the senior vice president and general manager of EA's Maxis label. She used to be just a lowly assistant. I remember that, Lucy. To the millions of SimCity, to the legions of SimCity fans out there, she said, we've been listening.
Legions. To the legions.
We are many. We've been listening and can proudly say that your calls have been answered. SimCity has a long legacy on the Mac, and the team at Maxis is ensuring that it will be the deepest, richest, and most accessible SimCity game yet. Attendees of Gamescom, which we are not there, but we're invited, 2012. This is taking place at Cologne Mess from August 15th through the 19th.
The plane tickets, we didn't come.
That's right. You can be among the first in the world to go hands-on with SimCity for the PC. Future mayors will be able to experience the next generation of city builders through a guided hands-on demo where they will also catch their first look at the SimCity world. This new feature set is the connective tissue that allows players to boast about their progress through City Log, which is something they put into The Sims, which I actually like, where you can post your things that are going on with your Sims via your Facebook page. And I know some of you are like, why would you do that? But why not? Especially if I'm a fan, I love seeing what everybody else is doing. You can compete in global challenges. That's right, against the world. And then you can compare your accolades in leaderboards and affect the global economy in a global market. Hot! EA, this is how you do it. You might get me back being a fan. Eager mayors who are interested in getting an early start at changing the world tomorrow can head over to simcity.com/beta. You can sign up, yes, for SimCity beta. Joe, stop it. No. Stay right there. You stay right here for the rest of the show. You don't go over yet. Participants will have the chance to play SimCity on PC before it even ships in February. Joe, wait a minute. Ginger, are you going? Did I just hear you type?
What?
I thought that you were going over to sign up for beta.
Oh, no.
Those that are chosen will be asked to provide their views and feedback on their experience playing to help improve the development of the game. For more than two decades, the Queen of City Building Simulators has sworn in millions of virtual mayors from around the world with its return in February 2013. SimCity will engage an entirely new generation of PC and Mac gamers as they take charge of their own customized cities and build a world that coexists alongside those with their friends. Like me and Ginger can now play together and build a city and dump all our trash in Blaster's neighborhood, in Snow's neighborhood. For the first time in SimCity franchise history, players' decisions will have long-lasting repercussions that will extend beyond their city limits. Together, players will address real global challenges such as climate change, the search for renewable resources, and natural disasters. It's up to players to decide whether to compete or collaborate to shape the world for better or for worse. SimCity for PC and Mac has not yet been rated by PEGI, and most likely not by the ESRB either, but probably it'll be E or T for teen. To stay up to date on the latest regarding SimCity and to pre-order, you can visit SimCity.com, and we will have some goodies for you. I'm actually going to tweet for you lovely people a trailer, which Joe has already seen and told me, and he's very, very excited about. Joe, stop it. You are not to sign up for beta while you listen to the show. I said no, Joe.
But come on, why not?
You know, I got to say this about this coming out. Zynga, take note. This is why you didn't do well. Now, The Sims and SimCity on Facebook, it kicks rocks. But The thing is that they are the inventor of the genre, and they created, I call them light, it's the Sims light, it's the SimCity light, but they have a real thing backing them up. You had no such thing. Your games had no kind of depth anywhere else, and you didn't understand, I don't know if you understood what you were doing. EA knew what they were doing. They give you the light version, and you can best believe those of you who play The Sims and SimCity on Facebook are going to be seeing tons of ads and coupons and things because they're good at cross-promotion, and they're going to get you over. But the thing that the non-SimCity fans or the Sims fans don't understand about why we all love the simulators is because they look at Zynga and they think this is what a simulator is. A simulator, when we were playing SimCity back in the day, was so deeply detailed down to, you know, they would tell you this street corner is not lined up properly. Your people are getting hit by a car. Well, it wasn't that detailed, but I'm sure they'll put it in now. But you know what I mean? This was, you know, this area of town has a lot of crime. How are you going to fix it? And this area over here is high pollution, and how are you going to fix it? And towards the end, when, you know, before we got this new one, you could actually zoom in, and you had a person you could put in the city, and they would report back to you if they were doing well. If they were doing well, then they managed to move to a newer house, or they got more money in their pocket, or they got worse. They moved to a worse area of town because that's all they could afford. Or, you know, it was really in depth. Anything you can think of that a real mayor would have to do, you had to do in this game. And ironically, when over the weekend, sitting with Horace and a couple of other people over dinner, we were saying, if anything, we would like to see some city officials before you get into office having to play SimCity and run it and actually make it flourish before we give you the job.
Yes,
if you can make a fake city run, you could probably run a real one if it's SimCity. This is how in-depth that this was. But Zynga, you were always off. You were never quite on the mark with your simulators. That's why I didn't stay. When it's good, I'm playing for days and days. I will not drop dead, but when you see me, I will look like a zombie. Like I will eat your face. That's good. That's good gaming right there. I do get up, you know, bathe and eat and stuff, but I don't believe I comb hair when it's a good game. That's too much work. It is. It's too much work. I gotta get back to my city.
This is true.
I'm gonna get Ginger into play one day. You know what? I don't think I'll do that because I love Ginger and I don't want her to disappear. I'm serious. I think if I got her into playing The Sims or SimCity, we would never see Ginger again.
Very possibly. Very possibly.
Mm-hmm. I know it's true.
All right, I got two stories here. They're both incredibly long, so I'm going to try to mash them up and get them a little bit shorter here. All right, so there are people. Their authorities are giving the reason to why they rated .com's house like they did. Because .com has been accused of assault before. Totally. With his stomach. Anybody who's seen .com knows .com's not a small man. So police justifications for using anti-terrorist officers to raid .com's house were partly based on claims that the tycoon had assaulted a former staff member with his stomach. The police form described the assault complaint by video editor Jess Bushyhead, Bushyhead, really? As minor, the form quoted Mr. Bushyhead, saying that the tycoon had body-butted me in the left shoulder with his stomach. Dotcom, who weighs about 165 kilograms, was arrested two weeks later on copyright violation charges at the request of the FBI. A judicial review into the search warrants used in the raid, which featured the Elite Special Tactics Group, STG, was heard last week. Oh, wow. So Detective Inspector Grant Wormald, who led FBI assistance, told the court he sought the group's help, leading to its assessing whether its involvement was appropriate. Mr. Wormald said that the complaint by Mr. Bushyhead backed up three elements of the STG assessment. The assault complaint by Mr. Bushyhead was he was physically injured, he said. On January 5th, Mr. Bushyhead described his injuries as sore neck and shoulders, sore right wrist, cuts and grazes to left wrist. I mean, that is some dangerous tummy. That thing comes with like its own ninja nunchucks or something, you know? Nunchucks? Ninja nunchucks.
I am killing myself laughing over here.
Ninja nunchucks or something, you know? It must have like razor blades and everything. Anyways, that's nuts. So that's the reason why they stormed in with dogs and helicopters and
because his belly is dangerous.
Yes, because you never know what he's been carrying in that tummy. Get in my belly!
Get in my belly!
All right, so the second one, again, is very long, but I want to graze over. It's kind of interesting. There is a research paper that's been written about losing yourself in a fictional character and how it can affect your real life. And it's actually over in the Ohio State University's newspaper. You can check that out over at researchnews.osu.edu. When you lose yourself inside the world of a fictional character while reading a story, you may actually end up changing your own behavior and thoughts to match that of the character. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Researchers at Ohio State University examined what happened to people who, while reading a fictional story, found themselves feeling the emotions, thoughts, beliefs, and internal responses of one of the characters as if they were their own, a phenomenon the researchers call experience taking. They found that in the right situations, experience taking may lead to real changes, if only temporary, in the lives of the readers. In one experiment, for example, the researchers found that people who strongly identified with a fictional character who overcame obstacles to vote were significantly more likely to vote in a real election several days later. This is awesome. And I know that they're only talking about books here, but I've done this with video games too, you know, where you identify with, you know, whoever you're playing, and you're like, you know, I've got to do this. I am this person.
Well, I agree, because remember when I did the thing for I've Forgotten, you remember that interview thing I did 6 or 7 months ago? I don't become the character, but I do try to look at the positive aspects of a character and say I want to emulate that. Like and I'm not saying by any means I am great at it, but I try to stay in shape, or I start to like the clothes that I let my second life character wear. But, you know, I don't necessarily think this applies to everyone, because a lot of people that play games don't actually get in the head of the character in a traditional sense, especially the guys when they're playing the first-person shooters. I don't think they think that they're the character. I just think they want to shoot up stuff. Yeah. Or maybe they take on the not-so-nice aspect of characters.
But I think everybody's had a bit of that, with, you know, especially with books. I've tried to describe this to people before, because I am I guess what you call a speed reader. I can go through, you know, an actual novel in just like a matter of, you know, a couple of hours. But for me, it's like a movie. I'm not seeing words on a page. I don't even realize what's around me anymore. I tune it all out, and I see the book as I'm reading it. It's like it's a movie in my head. I'm not even paying attention to pages I turn anymore, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, you know, your heart races. You know, you get scared if it's scary. Yeah.
I like it. All right.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, Facebook, you live in a web of lies.
What they do?
Well, Facebook FTC is saying that they lie about their app security program. Yeah, Facebook, we're not pleased with you. This is actually came out late yesterday. The U.S. Federal Trade Commission says Facebook duped application developers into paying $375 for a phony security authentication. This is the latest to come out of the privacy investigation regarding Facebook that was built on Friday. According to the Telegraph and VentureBeat, the FTC filed its file on the Facebook privacy investigation stemming from 2009 and revealed that the company may have had a bogus security review process for applications being published on its platform. It was called the Application Verification Program, and it ran between May 2009 and December 2010 and would assign a verified apps badge to an app that passed its test. In order to get the badge, a developer had to pay $375 or $175 if the developer was student or a nonprofit organization. The program promised to offer extra assurances that the verified app was secure, respectful, and transparent, but the FTC says Facebook did nothing extra at all. Before it awarded the verified apps page, Facebook took no steps to verify either the security of a verified application's website or the security of the application provided for the user's information that was collected, beyond such steps as it may have been taken regarding any other platform application, said the FTC in its investigation. The organization says 254 apps were awarded this badge, meaning Facebook could have made around $95,000 from the program on the high end. Facebook settled its case with the FTC on Friday after a period of public comment came to a close. The FTC investigated the social network for privacy concerns in 2009, which stemmed from some changes Facebook made to user privacy settings. That is, in its new privacy policy at the time, Facebook decided that a number of different profile features would be set as public by default. In doing so, it changed profile pictures, names, friends, lists, locations, and more to public, where users may have previously set those pieces of information to friends only. The FTC said this was no good because Facebook did not receive explicit permission from its users to change those settings. In the settlement, Facebook agreed to 20 years of privacy audits performed by a third-party agency. Damn! Google also recently settled its privacy investigation with the FTC. The search giant was fined $22.5 million, the largest sum ever imposed on a single company by the FTC. Facebook lies.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Holy ever-loving, but Jesus, it does.
Good gosh. Mm-hmm. You know what that means? Any of you people that were, like, buying stuff from some apps, you know, like Farmville, your information was just, you don't even know if it was safe. You just hoped that when you spent money that it, you know.
Yeah.
You hoped and prayed. Oh, my gosh.
Mm. Oh.
That is sad. That is very, very sad.
That is. And it goes along with, you know, never mind. I was going to say, I don't understand why people buy stuff on Facebook for games, but then again, we play things like, you know, Second Life, so.
We buy stuff.
Yes. I'm also making stuff. Yay!
You know what? I'm still reading this study that the ESA put out, so I think I may pepper a few of these throughout the show. Here's another fun fact for you. The average U.S. household owns at least one dedicated gaming console, PC, or smartphone.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Amazing.
My horse is amazing.
Your horse is amazing?
It's a song on the internet.
I do believe I'm done with you for the rest of the day.
All right, so, arcade action and strategic shooter fun collide in Ninja Kittens for iOS. Yay! Hong Kong-based Wano today announces the release of Ninja Kittens onto the App Store. Part adrenaline-filled arcade shooter and strategic problem-solving experience, this wildly kinetic new game throws players into a war to save a planet of cute yet deadly ninja kittens from an invading robot menace, one well-aimed cannonball shot at a time. Ninja Kittens features 45 challenging levels, ultra-speedy gameplay, vibrant graphics, and features full social media integration. Yay! All right, so every level features an array of different obstacles, some of which give you the advantage over incoming bots and others that might just put a wrench in your defenses. The game comes complete with unlockable achievements, diverse cannonball ammo bonuses to pick up, and a powerful physics engine to gameplay smooth, and responsive regardless. Who wrote this? Of hectic things. Anyway, so this is from China, so... yeah, not surprises, not very well translated. Taking inspiration from mobile gaming classics like Angry Birds, Ninja Kittens turns the conventional pull-and-shoot gaming experience upside down. All right, so, yeah, this is Ninja Kittens. It's on the Apple iStore right now.
Did you need the sound effects?
Huh?
Did you need the sound effects?
Meow.
Meow. They're nice kittens. Meow.
Yeah, mine was making that noise at me last night. She was attacking me, and then when I would attack back, she'd yell at me.
That's what you get for it, Ginger.
Yes, I was folding laundry, and she jumped in my laundry basket and was, like, sticking her arms through the holes, like, swatting at me and trying to attack me. And if I'd, like, grab her paw, she'd scream at me.
Well, Kitten Matrix was having a brawl with ZQ77 yesterday. I don't know what was going on, but I heard, get down. Rrr! Get down. Rrr! So I had to go and intervene. But the rrr was rather hilarious.
I learned very quickly not to get on things. We had that issue for about 2 days.
Ah, well, apparently she has not learned because she's been on the dining room table stealing stuff and jumping off and running. It's just really hilarious.
Upside down tape. It only took like twice.
You know what? That did not work. I took y'all's advice. That cat loves the tape. She just rolls around in it like, oh, this is
really?
Fun.
Oh, my God. And my cat was like, Mom, what is this? Get it off.
Yeah,
she would, like, come to me and, like, hold her paw out at me and just kind of give me this look like, Mom.
Get it off. Get it off. Yeah, Kitten Matrix is unfazed, much like I would be. I'd be like, ooh, tape, hot. So, yeah. So, yeah, you know she belongs here in the house. She's not phased at all. It's like, oh, you're going to stick something to me. Well, it'll just stay stuck. That's fine. I'm going to just roll around here and just walk with it on. Be like, let me get that off of you. Ram. I like it. All right, you people that love you some Need for Speed, there's a new trailer out, which I'll be tweeting shortly. This is Need for Speed like you have never seen it before in fast and fun 12-person multiplayer hot, lovely action. You can jump into the open world of Fairhaven City and prove your driving skills against your friends, drive a huge variety of cars, and compete in a series of action-packed challenges, race, drift, jump, and take down your friends in a battle to become most wanted. Basically, it sounds like you stole all my Burnout Revenge and put it in Need for Speed. Yeah, I'm going to calm down. It's all right. I'm good.
Why you got to be stealing her stuff?
They don't understand. EA is one of those companies. You know, I kind of look at it this way. You know how you have your sports team, let's say basketball, because I have to use that as an example. You know how you have your team that wins the championship, right? They almost immediately, like clockwork, the next week, dismantle this team. But in my eyes, if they work so well together that they got to the top, they need to stay together until their knees fall off. EA, when you have a good game, you can add stuff to it, but don't get rid of it. Don't get rid of the game. Don't put it in other stuff. I need it back the way it was. I need my Need for Speed. Not my Need for Speed, but my Burnout back.
Oh, my God. All right. I have to read this. This goes on our zombie news. Zombie Watch.
Zombie Watch.
Coming for you today. I'm nom 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 face. All right. So, San Antonio. Us Texans are nuts. I love me some Texans. Man, I'm going to miss y'all when I'm gone. Zombie response training in San Antonio. Yeah, Channel 4 News, WOAI, is reporting. They even have this video up on YouTube, which I'm going to tweet in a minute. Anyways, rough weather rocked North Texas overnight Sunday, and the drought has caused some major problems with food production. Are you prepared for the worst? And by the worst, we mean a zombie apocalypse. Believe it or not, there is a zombie response team in San Antonio.
You know, we had to do it first, right?
I know, right? That's awesome. The group offers training and survival techniques for the impending doom. It sounds funny, but they say it's actually pretty helpful.
Let me give you a little background music. Uh-oh.
they have their own website, zombieresponseteam.net. That is awesome. And Michigan State University has a zombie course. Surviving the coming zombie apocalypse, catastrophes, and human behavior is a fully online summer course offered by Michigan State University in which students will learn about the nature, scope, and impact of catastrophic events on individuals, families, societies, civilizations, and the Earth itself. And you can check that out over at... No, you can't. I don't have a link for that. I've got them both up on... they're both on YouTube. All right, so I'm going to tweet both of these. And you can check them out. This is amazing.
Awesome.
Wow.
Always got to be Texas to do it first. See, I gave you a little background music.
This is so hot.
You know what? That's going to become our official zombie music right there. There you go. Until we find something else. So when we do Zombie Watch, when you hear that. Did you lose it? You lose your tweet?
No. I found it, but this one had its share wasn't at the bottom. It was at the top.
Oh, yeah. You know Facebook is crazy.
Yeah, Facebook needs to stop that stuff.
Not Facebook, but
YouTube.
YouTube. Yeah, it's all the same. They all live in a compound together.
Yeah. They're crazy compound with their nice white jackets with the silver buckles in the back. Zombie response team. That is so hot. All right, I'm also putting it up on Facebook for those of you who have my Facebook. That is amazing.
Now, Jay says that the people that only have one console in their house need to catch up. Keep in mind, they're not gamers, so that's amazing that they even have one console, considering they're not gamers.
I met somebody the other day I was talking to who only has a Wii.
Yeah, well, it's still amazing that they have a Wii.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Only a Wii. All right, so we're going to do more news. Let me find more news.
Well, I have... Hey!
What?
Timber?
Oh! I'm
going
to have a picture up on Facebook in a little bit. I got a new gun yesterday. Airsoft gun.
A real gun?
I got a zombie airsoft gun.
A real one?
Yes.
Oh.
I know. It's still in the package. I don't know whether or not I want to open it. It's so hot.
Now, here's another fun fact for you. 62% of gamers play games with others, either in person or online.
Really?
And 78% of gamers who play with others do so at least 1 hour a week.
Well, that's cool.
But sadly for you boys out there that don't have girlfriends that are gamers or girls that don't have guy boyfriends that are gamers, only 17% of you play with your spouse or significant other.
Shame on you.
Yep.
You should play more games with people.
Well, it ain't. You know, it's not our fault. They don't want to play.
Yeah, this is true. You should want to play. All right. I'm not going to cough my lungs up, I swear. The zombieism's going to start with this cough that I can't seem to get rid of. Epic Games now owns people can fly. Epic Games bought a majority stake in Bulletstorm and Painkiller developer People Can Fly. Yeah, and as of today, they own the company outright. Epic Games announced that it has purchased the Warsaw, Poland-based developer who is currently working on Gears of War Judgment, though for how much they did not disclose. Epic made the decision to buy the company last week. And on a related note, Adrian... Oh, yeah, I'm going to give up. Adrian P. and Michael K. have left the company. Epic's Mark Ryan says that these departures will not affect the studio's ongoing projects in any way. We doubled down on People Can Fly, Ryan told Polygon. It was something we always hoped to do. Ryan also said that Epic will be working with Adrian C. on a future project, but it sounds like departures were amicable. Epic Games now owns 5 subsidiaries, Chair, Impossible Games, People Can Fly, when you push them off of buildings, Epic Japan, and Epic Korea.
Why?
I don't know, because it sounded like fun.
Bad Ginger.
I know, but they liked it.
Maybe they did, Ginger, but that still makes you a very, very bad girl.
I know. You're going to spank me later.
I am?
What?
I'm going to spank you later?
Sure, why not?
Well, who's going to spank me?
Snow.
I suppose I could receive a snow spanking, I suppose.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. This is not turning out well. I think I got dinged. Who?
Uh-oh, you're in trouble.
I stay in trouble, so what? What?
You're always in trouble, though, so that's nothing new.
I ain't a scared. Yes, I am.
Always be scared.
Okay, moving along. We got to get off this topic because I am in trouble.
You're in trouble.
So, interesting. Oh, gosh. Okay, so Origin. More about Origin. You already pretty much figured out they were coming to Mac because you'll be able to get your SimCity there. But Origin is supposed to be EA's answer to Steam's digital distribution service, and they will be coming to Mac, but not just to Mac. Android and Facebook. Android and Facebook soon, as well as smart TVs. Peter Moore spoke on a stage during the company's Gamescom keynote in Cologne and revealed that the platform would soon be available on these platforms as well as on its native PC. During the same presentation, Moore also claimed that over 21 million people were now using the service.
Ooh.
Not only that, more EA. I don't know what's going on with EA. They like they're trying to put the smack down today. They're doing okay. They also are looking to develop some games for upcoming Windows operating system, Windows 8, the Windows 8 phone.
Mm-hmm.
They said they're working very closely with Microsoft, and they understand what their views are on gaming gaming navigation are. This is also from Peter Moore. He says anything that allows more platforms to be adopted quickly that have a gaming element is good for EA. Windows Phone 8 is closer to Microsoft's upcoming Windows 8 desktop operating system than Windows Phone 7 is to Windows 7. The company has promised. Why can I not talk today? The company has promised that it'll be easier to develop games and apps that work on both mobile and desktop platforms. It said it is important to attract the gamers, and due to Windows Phone 8's relation to the classical Windows PC programs, it's a good platform for game developers, said Jaisk Bank analyst Robert You know, I'm going to need y'all with the names to stop it. So this is clearly a step forward for Microsoft's mobile operation system. Will Windows Phone 8 succeed where Windows 7 stumbled? Only the shadow knows.
Only the shadow knows.
And this is where I'm saying to Zynga, this is where EA kicks your little narrow asses. I'm not saying that they're not the devil, but they're
narrow
smart.
Asses.
Yes, the devil is smart, and the devil knows that the only way to survive is to be diversified. You can't be on one platform. You got to be everywhere. Everywhere. Do I need to repeat that again? Everywhere. It needs an echo. So anyway, good luck with that, EA, and make them good, because if they're not good, you know we got something to say about it here. Y'all don't want Ginger to get up in the high register.
No. But this game here sounds like something you will love.
Uh-oh, is it a simulator?
Looks like it.
Oh, God, Jesus.
Uh-huh. Order Up to Go.
I'm already playing Order Up, and that's going up on our new site the first day we go live. Oh, my God. Tell them about it. Tell them about it, Ginger. I love it. Go ahead. Tell them about it.
All right, since I'm done coughing my lungs up, leading indie games publisher Chillingo and prominent indie game developer Supervillain Studios are thrilled to announce that its frantic cooking and restaurant empire building game Order Up to Go has reached 3 million downloads on the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
The companies are celebrating the milestone by releasing Order Up to Go 1.4, an update that introduces brand new Farmer's Market.
I got
Yay!
It.
The features.
Sorry.
Mr. Miyota's Spice Emporium, where chefs can play all new mini games to earn silver coins.
And one of them is Ninja. I'm sorry.
Oh, one's like Fruit Ninja?
Yes.
Cool. Bump's Hut, where you can buy mystery gifts and power-ups to increase the rate chefs earn silver coins. And achievements for chefs in minigames. Now go and release your inner chef as you chop, roll, slice, and dice your way to culinary stardom. Order Up to Go is optimized specially for iOS, featuring perfect controls and comic kitchen action. This is one-time management game that will surely keep you busy for hours. Yay!
Oh my God, I love me some Order Up. Oh my
really good?
God. Yes! You get to cook, and you never played Cooking Mama either, did you?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, for those of you who have, until we get Ginger to play Cooking Mama.
I almost bought Babysitting Mama and just for the
cooking. Oh, hell no. Hell no. No. Don't babysit.
The creepy doll.
Mm-mm. No. You must get Cooking Mama, and you need to start from the beginning. So if you manage to grab a copy from the beginning, play that one. That reminds me, where is my DS? I'm going to have to watch. I'm going to have to check because ZQ got a little hooked on some trauma center on the DS. I told her she would like it. So anyway, you cook and you run your restaurant and you order your plates for the day, what you think people are going to want. You order if you know how to make the special of the day, you order the special of the day, and then you have to cook the orders. And you can hire two chefs to work with you, and you have to cut or cook it just right, because if it burns, then the people don't pay you or they get angry. It's just cool.
No angry people.
And it's not this cafe world cooking business where you just select it and it cooks. You actually have to cook, as in stir the pot, chop stuff, roll things, put them on the plate.
Uh-oh.
The one that I can never get that Baby Natrix has down is you work in the fast food restaurant with the drinks. You have to make the drink, put the drinks in the cup, like the Coke, the Dr. Pepper, and all that stuff. My cup is always overflowing onto the floor. It's not cute. I can't do it.
She's always spilling a drink.
I do. I spill. I always try to be badass. Like, I'm going to do four at once while I cook some burgers, and then I forget to see drinks running, and then I come and they're running onto the floor. It's always bad. It's a lovely game. It's a great indie game. Chillingo is awesome. I love that you guys did such a good game. I love it. And it's not just one type of food. It's several different types of food genres. So you got American, you got your Japanese, you got your Italian, and all kinds of food.
Yes. All right, so Gearbox denies calling Borderlands.
It not be your turn.
Oh, it not be?
It not be your turn.
Oh, my bad.
It be my turn to
My bad. Go ahead. I'll do my next.
Look, and no, I don't have to tell you about a pirate game. I just like speaking like a pirate. But.
You know what? We already missed it. We had to have. When is?
It's coming up. It's coming up. It's on my calendar phone. It's on my phone on my calendar. It's coming up. Okay, Coffee Stain Studios has announced that its hit PC FPS tower defense game Sanctum, yes, is now available on the Mac. Mac gamers can download the intense hybrid shooter exclusively through Valve Steam Store. It's currently only $8.99, 10% off of the regular price. They said they're tremendously proud of how Sanctum has performed on the PC. I said Anton Westbrook. Stop texting me, CEO of Coffee Stain Studios.
Text her harder.
Remind me to tell you about your little saying and who I saw stole it the other night. Okay, so anyway, creating a Mac version is something we wanted to do for a long time, and we couldn't be happier to now be able to bring our unique blend of hybrid gameplay to a brand new audience. In celebration of the Mac launch, Coffee Stain Studios has resurrected Sanctum's downloadable content, including three tower DLCs, Violator, Penetrator, and Killing Floor, completely free of charge. And grouping others together in affordably bundled Sanctum Map Pack 1. Sanctum is a fresh take on the tower defense genre and places the player right into the frenetic fray with tight first-person shooter gameplay mechanics. This is sounding all kinds of sexual. I don't know about you guys. Gamers take the role of Skye, an elite soldier sent out to protect her hometown, Elysian 1, from hordes of mysterious alien creatures. To successfully defend land, players must construct and upgrade a labyrinth of defensive structures and towers. When the havoc starts and the wave of baddies is unleashed, gamers jump right into the action with fully upgradable weapons to play a key role in the defense. Sanctum has taken the best features from FPS and tower defense games to create something totally unique. You can find Sanctum on the Steam store if you're interested, or you can go over to CoffeeStainStudios.com, their main website, and check out Sanctum. That's rather interesting. So, Ginger, the person who stole your texture harder, ironically, was Wayne Brady. You're muted, woman. Ginger?
I'm here, growling. Wayne Brady stole my texture harder?
Yes, I heard him say it the other night. He said, his version was he was about to tweet, and somebody said, don't tweet me, and he says, I'm going to tweet you so hard. So I said, oh, my God, Ginger.
That is totally my line. You stole it. You thief. I said it first.
You's a tefty thief.
You thief. You thief.
It's a dirty thief.
Gearbox denies calling Borderlands 2 best friends forever, skill tree girlfriend mode internally.
What?
I have no idea.
Really?
While having a super casual mode for your game is a great idea, what you call it in private can sometimes seep out and cause you a headache if you are not careful. That is exactly what is happening to Gearbox Software this morning after a Eurogamer report called a new super easy skill tree in Borderlands 2 girlfriend mode. The offense comes from the inference that girlfriends are somehow not very good at games.
Really?
Or not very bright, and need a special skill tree to help them along. Gearbox is basically being accused of using a misogynist term to describe the mode. The trouble started in a Eurogamer interview with Borderlands 2 lead developer John Hemingway, who outlined an additional character schedule for release release 60 days after the main game. This character will introduce a user-friendly skill tree called Best Friends Forever that includes perks such as decreased need for shooting accuracy, but the problem is that, according to Eurogamer, Gearbox has been calling it Girlfriend Mode internally.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, the design team was looking at the concept art and thought, you know what, this is actually the cutest character we've ever had. I want to make, for the lack of a better term, the Girlfriend Skill Tree, Hemingway told Eurogamer. This is I Love Borderlands, and I want to share it with someone, but they suck at first-person shooters. Can we make a skill tree that actually allows them to understand the game and to play the game? That's what our attempt with the Best Friends Forever skill tree is. Oh my god, while Your Gamer did not comment on this in the interview, other media outlets picked up on the comment and criticized the whole idea of a mode designed for girlfriends and loved ones who aren't very good at first-person shooters. Gearbox,
why does it have to be called girlfriend mode? Why can't it just be...
Yeah, because I have to say, all the girls that I game with, I don't care what game it is, we're going to kick the guy's butts all over the place.
Why can't it just be called newbie mode? What is it?
Yeah, what
is
this with
the girlfriend business?
Because, yeah, all the girl gamers I know, they... Guys don't get this in gaming. Girls have to be better. We have to be competitive. We don't get the luck. All right, there are some that like to be that girl, and everybody knows that girl. Skates by because everybody else helps her out. And those girls, I want to stab in the face repeatedly. In game only, okay, by the way. I just have really scolding words to say to them. But in game, I want to kill them repeatedly until they go home crying and quit and never come back. But I've seen guys that suck at gaming too. And we have to be more competitive. So this whole girlfriend mode, it had better be harder. It had better be more storyline. It had better be everything that guys don't want and can't stand. It better have more description and slower. And oh my god. Yeah.
By the way, Joe, who said the sign up for beta for SimCity is not working, keep trying, dear.
So this irritates me, girlfriend mode. You know what? I'm going to girlfriend mode your face with a hammer.
Oh, hey! All right, it's time for more fun facts. We can get you out of the high register. Ooh, fun facts about gamers. The number one... Wow, Ginger, what am I going to do with you? The top 20 selling video games of 2011 as sold by units. The number one game, believe it or not, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that's just video games. Now, if you go with computer games, it was Star Wars The Old Republic. Interesting, right?
It is kind of interesting.
If you want to know how much money we spent last year in gaming in 2011.
How much money did we spend last year in gaming?
$24.75 billion.
Hell yeah, gaming for the win.
That's way more than the movies. Ooh. Hey, how come we're not in this report? Oh, Oh, it's the developers. I was like, hey, our name's not on here. we'll be developers soon. Anyway, it is about time for us to go now that I pulled Ginger down out of the rafters because she was aggravated, in case you all
did. You guys are all about to get kicked. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you, girlfriend mode. I'll show you girlfriend mode.
Speaking of girlfriends, this next one is going out to my man, who is now currently at the dining room table lighting candles for me because he loves me so much. Link, I love you. By the way, you guys know where to find us, GameAdHX.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, and everywhere in between. We will, of course, be here later, I think, doing Pixinista a little bit later on tonight. Make sure you're here listening. We got some stuff to tell y'all about. A lot of stuff happened with digital clothes this week. Here we go.